in here with us is that man, my leader, my idol, who dropped a massive, massive bomb on all of us over the last few days. He is Robert Wolanski of the Dallas Morning News.
And the Ticket.
And the Ticket.
Intentional Grounding returns September 5th, by the way.
Yes,
we back are for
another
weeks
great
away.
Year.
See, if we would have lost you, we would have. This would have been like a T.O. going into the Hall of Fame, which hat he would have. We would have demanded that we would have had a Ticket hat up there somewhere.
I'm sure my tombstone will eventually read, "It's terrible."
It's already on order.
As well it should.
It's already on order, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, that's inevitable. I've told you this a million times, and I am recognized more by my voice than by my name or by anything I've ever written. If I go somewhere, hey, I love Intentional Grounding.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I have another job.
Right. Like you're trying to order food at Twisted Root or something like that, and they're like, just say it's terrible. Just do it. Please.
Right. Then they ask me how things are at the Times Herald.
Can I record you saying it's terrible?
Right.
Just say it for me.
Right.
Here, let me get my phone out.
Will you do my my outgoing voicemail?
Yes.
And say, hey, I'm not in. It's terrible. That was like, what, 12 years ago? 15
oh,
years
dude,
ago?
Oh, dude, it may have been 20. I don't even know. It seems like it was forever ago.
That started before I even knew you, I think.
Yeah, it was back when you were like music editor at The Observer or something.
I think it was film critic. Yeah, music editor,
some type
film
of critic. Yeah,
was,
film critic.
Then we did the It's Terrible show. I had the but that theme song still somewhere in the end, Co?
The probably. It's Terrible show.
Yeah. A whole show dedicated.
Yeah.
I thought... Okay, so walk us through, I guess, how...
So is this the C News segment?
Yeah. He wanted to call this C News.
We go from E News to C News.
Right, and back-to-back segments.
All right, now let's set this up for everybody who may not know, but we were all told in the paper, those of us who didn't already have a heads up, and we didn't have a very big one for sure, but by the time it came out in the Sunday Dallas Morning News... That's when everybody learned that you have been fighting kidney cancer.
Yeah, so July 25th of last year, I was diagnosed with stage 4 kidney cancer. It had spread to my my left kidney was essentially a tumor at that point, and it had spread to my liver, a lot of tumors on my liver, two big ones, and lymph nodes and thyroid and some other places.
Did you have even the slightest clue?
No, I went in thinking that I went to see my doctor thinking that I had kidney stones. It was literally the classic symptoms, pain
right.
Blood in the urine, and I passed something. I eventually learned that what I passed was not a kidney stone, but it was, in fact, a blood clot.
God.
So...
Jeez.
I was like, that sucks. I really wish I had kidney stones.
Yeah.
So,
kidney stones sound pretty good.
Oh, kidney stones sound like a dessert at that point. So, yeah. So that's,
how long did it take for them to diagnose this, by the way? Once you went in for the kidney stones, when did they let you know? What was the lag time?
I went in Friday for the appointment. I got scanned Friday. And that's the point where I knew something was wrong because they found something in my neck. It was what turned out to be the thyroid issue. So
that's when you started thinking this is no kidney stone.
No, well, then they did the kidney stone. They scanned my abdomen too. So I was really sweating all weekend, about having thyroid cancer. Then I get a call Monday afternoon from a doctor, and the doctor says, hey man, your checkup was great. Everything's fantastic. I really need to know, I said, well, how did the scans look? He goes, oh, we didn't get the scans back yet, but everything else was great. I'm like, well, can you go back and check on the scans?
And curb your enthusiasm in the meantime.
So he calls me back. This is my general practitioner. He calls me back half an hour later. That's the 21st. And he says, so I got your scans. Need to see you next week early. And bring your parents.
God. Whoa.
Bring your whole family. I said, can you just tell me that I have cancer right now? That would be really preferable to... waiting a few days. He said, that was a Monday. So he said, yeah, because it was a Monday. He's heading to D.C. tomorrow, which was a Tuesday, and my son's birthday was the next day. So he said, I need to see your family tomorrow. I said, can you just tell me I have cancer? And he says, I can't do that, but I can't tell you that you don't have cancer.
Not allowed to tell you over the phone.
No, but he...
Yeah, but it...
In so many words,
right,
he did.
Right.
And then he did. But I thought it was the thyroid. Then we get in, and he sits down that Tuesday afternoon about 4 o'clock.
With the family? Are they all there?
Yeah, everybody except my son. So, you know, it was my wife, my parents. And then he tells us, you've got kidney cancer. It's pretty far along, and you don't have a lot of time. I found he told me it was 3 or 4 years, which Harry was about to start high school, so that was the whole thing about getting your son through high school.
Yeah.
I found out last week, as a matter of fact, that from who became the research doctor, that it was not for 3 to 4 years. I probably had 26 months how far along I was. So
2 years on a...
Yeah,
really, good. That's probably the
that was the
best case scenario. Yeah.
It was about 26 months is what I really had.
Wow. Okay, I'm doing the math here, and I remember you went to Colorado last year.
Yeah, July. Yeah, it was July of my parents' anniversary.
Yes, and so you had a big vacation. First time you've taken a big vacation. Forever.
First time I've ever taken a long vacation in my entire life, and I come back 3 weeks later and find out that I've got stage 4 kidney cancer. At which point, I decided I would never take a long vacation ever again.
So, at any point, and I know it's probably difficult to retrace steps, but at any point, whether it was there, whether it was here in the months prior to the diagnosis, was there anything outside of just what you thought were kidney stones?
No.
Was nothing.
No fatigue, no little weird. Oh, I've never had that weird pain before. That's interesting. Oh, that went away. No big deal.
Is that normal, did they say?
Yes,
it is.
I was told, so I get diagnosed the 25th, the 26th. I end up meeting with the guy who became my surgeon, Dr. Vitaly Margulis at UT Southwestern, who told me that I was inoperable. And he's the one who hooked me up with Dr. Hans Hammers, who was running the clinical trial.
Inoperable because it was so...
It was so far spread. It had spread into my inferior vena cava. So I had a tumor thrombus, which meant if they had tried to operate on me, it was too close to my heart. It was in the vein that sends unoxygenated blood to my heart. So that would have killed me. So,
That is bizarre to me, though, and just a dude, you know, who goes and gets normal checkups that... There's really, so you would have no way to find this out.
So look, this is one of the reasons I wrote the piece. I have no interest in talking about me.
Yeah.
I think the three of you know me well enough to know that I just would never have written this piece. I certainly wasn't going to do it before I went in. And everybody was pressuring me, oh, you should write a piece before, let people know what's going on. The only reason I wanted to do it after was to give people hope and tell them that there are options for them available. But the fact is, I was told by Dr. Margulis, this is a kind of cancer you discover accidentally. You discover when you have a car accident and you go in for scans. Oh, my God, you have a broken back and you have kidney cancer. It's the kind of thing you discover when you least expect it.
Yeah.
Stage 4 kidney cancer only shows itself when it's very late along.
And when it's stage 4.
It's clear. It's, you know, I had clear cell cancer. Clear cell cancer is the kind that shows itself when it's very, very late.
So there's nothing that's just bizarre that there are no signs. There's no, I mean, unless you go, like you said, you go in when you're, so how long did they say this could have been metastasizing or growing? 4?
4 years.
Good God.
4 to 5 years.
Damn. And is that typical of time-wise of?
Yeah.
So I mean, you've got about a 7 to 8 year window from the time that this cancer grabs a hold until you're dead to have an accident discover it.
Right. Or start peeing red.
Yeah. Which happened. Okay, so you're inoperable. You're in there and you're like, are you thinking to yourself, all right, best case scenario, surgery, radiation, all
that?
No,
I'm not thinking surgery. Because you know, I'm inoperable.
Well, so. I know before that, though.
Oh, shoot. Man, it's amazing. I haven't been on the radio in a while, and I almost cursed, but I
Yeah.
Just like that.
Hey, this is the ticket.
Man, you put a microphone in front of me and I
do what you want.
I can't curse. It's remarkable. No, man. I mean, look, we walked out of the doctor's office and we're standing in the parking lot. And we're at Walnut Hill in Central. And, you know, my mom says we're going to beat it. You know, my mom's a former medical professional. I think I've told you my mom was at Parkland. She was an x-ray tech. She was there when Kennedy was brought in.
Mm-hmm.
So she's an old school medical professional who's got a lot of dear friends. So mom says we're going to beat this. She's very optimistic. And I said to my father, and I regret it, but I said it to him. My dad's had a lot of health issues over the years that he's fought. He's a titan. He's a giant. He's a 74-year-old man who, at this point, looks younger than me. And I just said to him, I hate the fact that you might end up burying me.
Ugh.
Ugh. Then I had to go to the Best Buy at Park and Central to buy Harry's birthday gift because his birthday was the next day. So I'm standing in line trying to get a phone, is what he wanted for his birthday. And I thought, well, I was going to get him something kind of inexpensive, but now I'm really going to go all out and get the kid something really expensive. I was ready to spend a lot of money, and I could get nobody to help me. I went up to a guy and said, hey, can I just get some help? I need to buy something, a birthday gift. This is like half an hour after I found out that I've got not a long time to live. The guy says, I don't have time right now.
Oh, my God.
I said to him,
you don't.
I said to him, you don't have time. I don't have time. And I just walked out.
Boy, that is Larry David as hell.
You throw your scans at him.
Here. It was a lot for several days, for several weeks. It was a lot of Curb Your Enthusiasm going on in my head because I would get these snotty emails and I just kept thinking, man, I really want to tell this guy what I think.
Yeah.
I would see council members in the hallway at City Hall and really just want to tell them what I thought. And I just basically didn't talk to anybody for a long time.
Smart. All right, let's take a break and come back because we have millions more questions, but I want to get into the trial.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, we should talk about Dr. Hammers.
Yes, why things look good right now.
Yeah. Robert Wolanski of the Dallas Morning News in here telling his story about being diagnosed with cancer and the circumstances which led to him, for the moment anyway, getting out in front of this thing a little bit. Who knew?
None of us.
None of us.
Look,
I know that...
I felt bad. I saw you guys every Wednesday.
I know.
I almost told you every Wednesday. We'd come up here. David and I'd get up here to do intentional grounding, which starts September 5th. And I'd come up here and we talked about the fact I wasn't drinking anymore.
Yeah.
That was why.
I was busting your balls about that.
Right. And I'm not going to lie, it kind of gave me a giggle knowing that you were giving me grief about it. And
right. Come on, man.
What a wuss. You're not drinking.
And that was right when Intentional Grounding got us our first ever sponsor, and it was Maker's Mark.
That's right.
And I had to give away my booze. That was the worst part. We got this nice bottle of Maker's Mark, and I had to give it away because I couldn't drink it. So, because my liver was all tumored up. So, anyway. So, we were talking about the fact that I got diagnosed on the 25th, saw the doctor on the 26th, who said I was inoperable. He sent me to see this guy, Hans Hammers, who did a great job of doing the Miami Vice theme music.
Yes, he did. Right. And what a transition.
Right.
From music to medicine.
Oh, my God, it was extraordinary.
Oh,
he spent the last 30 years in medical school.
That's right. So I have to say, Hans Hammers, people have noted that he looks like Colin Firth in the picture that ran with my piece. And I don't know who he looks like other than the guy who, as far as I'm concerned, saved my life.
He probably looks like God to you.
Every time I see him, I just bust up crying. I mean, he came into my hospital room after I had the surgery at the end of June. You know, I'm laying up, and at that point, I'm fairly doped up because it's an extensive surgery if you've seen the pictures.
Hey, describe what the surgery was.
Well, let me hear. I'll get to
okay,
it in
okay,
a second.
Okay.
So anyway, I told, he walked in the room, and man, I just started to cry. Like, I couldn't get a word out. I mean, he saved my life. Because I'd gone to see him, I was told I was inoperable. He said, well, there's this clinical trial that Margulis, the surgeon, had recommended called Radvax, which takes two drugs, which were initially for skin cancer. Combine the drugs, and then go get some radiation. Then it's five shots of radiation. It was five long, but really back-to-back-to-back periods of radiation. So in early September, it was a Thursday, I went in for the first infusion is what it's called. So you spend an hour getting one drug, take a half-hour break, get the next drug. In the same place at UT Southwestern where people have chemo. So it's me and folks doing chemo. And I could make it through two of the infusions, by which point I started having a pretty bad reaction to it. The drugs had started going after my good kidney. It's called immunotherapy. Mm-hmm. So I had to stop because otherwise I was gonna have no kidneys at that point. So I started taking a bunch of steroids, like 200 milligrams a day of prednisone. And I went from losing 20 pounds to gaining 30 pounds pretty quick. But during that period, they kept scanning me. And during those few months, they realized that even though I had only been on the treatment for two out of the four infusions that they would hope for, that the drugs were having a pretty remarkable effect. The tumors had started to shrink. Now, the kidney tumor had shrunk a little bit because of the radiation.
Mm-hmm.
They aimed it at the radiation. The whole point of the immunotherapy is that you aim the radiation at the kidney, kills a bit of the tumor, and then the drugs have ramped up your immune system and say, hey, go get this thing that doesn't belong in the human body. Because your immune system does not attack cancer. That's the problem with it. But this, in fact, tweaked my immune system to do something it doesn't normally do, which is what is remarkable about this leap in science.
And it's unreal to think about that there's something like that exists, you know?
Well, that's why I wanted to, that's ultimately why I wrote about it.
Yeah.
Because I wanted people not only to go get checked, you need to get checked, but I want people to know, and I've heard from so many people in the last few days, who have gone to clinical trials for this very reason. You know, I'm lucky I have insurance, but the fact is clinical trials aren't even on insurance because it's experimental. I've met four people who've been on the trial through the story, and they've all had various degrees of success. Now, some have had more than others, and some are waiting, and I met one person who's about to start the trial, and he read the piece, and he was more hopeful than he was 2 days prior, and he's terrified, and I've talked to him and told him, don't be as scared as you were, and you're in great hands. But I've heard from that. Look, that's the only reason I wrote the piece.
Yeah.
And I want people to know, and I have talked to a lot of people, and if I spend the rest of my life being the guy who talks to people about this stuff, then that's fine.
And Hans Hommers is the guy who's overseeing all this.
He sees that, yeah. Hommers is, he's got 25 people that are going to be in this trial eventually. I was number 10. Number 21 starts, I believe, this week. He emailed me, or he DM'd me. So, yeah, it's going to be, it's been going on for about a year. And the thing that just floors me, and I didn't even know this till a couple of weeks ago, that this isn't funded by the pharmaceutical companies. It's not funded by the federal government. The money for this trial, which saved my life and is going to save so many other people's lives down the road, because I can't assume it, I can't imagine this doesn't get approved because it has worked. And the fact that, you know, they're going to start using me as, I guess, the poster boy because I've had success and I've been willing to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm violating my own HIPAA here. UT Southwestern said, is it okay if we promote her? And I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure that picture of me on the front page of the Metro section Sunday said, go ahead, knock yourselves out. I want people to know. But the fact is, this had to be raised privately. This $300,000 That's all it is, right? $300,000 off. And these medical companies, these pharmaceutical companies made how much off these drugs?
Oh, my God. It's such a drop in the bucket.
$300,000 was raised privately by this couple in Virginia Beach. And I'm actually going to go out there next weekend for a fundraiser and speak with Hammers and Dr. Bergarolis, also from UT Southwestern, who oversees the whole program, and going to talk about it. And then I'm going to talk about it again in September at another thing at UT Southwestern. And if that's all I do for the rest of my life, however long that is, to talk about the miracle that is modern science, and anyone who sits here and says that they don't believe in science, that this is, I mean, or whatever. What is happening on Harry Hines at UT Southwestern is nothing short of miraculous because of the research that they're doing.
So when your one good kidney became, when it got better, you started that back up again?
No, I couldn't go back on the trial because my body, by that point, it knows.
Okay.
So they said, you're ready to operate. I had to wait a little bit. I was supposed to be, my surgery was supposed to be in April. We postponed it. My dad had a health issue as well. That was a pretty big scare. With him being at UT Southwestern for a long time. But it held steady. They did scan after scan after scan, and they kept saying, look, you're all right. We can operate now. But they were worried that if they waited any longer that it wouldn't.
Yeah. You wouldn't be able to.
Right. So
what did the surgery consist of?
The surgery consisted of them taking out my left kidney, lymph nodes, renal vein, and chunks of liver and some other stuff. But I'm, it's a work in progress. I was in a couple weeks ago. I had a bit of a complication with some fluid collecting around my liver, and then I got to go in for another biopsy at the end of the month and probably have another surgery in September. But, yeah, it's, you know.
So now you're running on one kidney, huh?
I am.
How's that feel?
Weird. I mean, I can sometimes feel that I'm absent a kidney on my left side. It's a little weird.
It's bizarre.
But, look, I talked to, you know, that's the extraordinary thing about having this now. Everybody says, "Oh, congratulations! You're better. You're healed. You're over it." Now, I would just recommend this to anybody who knows anybody with cancer. It is a thing you do not ever get over.
Right.
I'm going to think about this every day for as long as I live. Every scan I have is going to terrify me, and that's the same that goes for any family member you have that has cancer. You know, I read an article. I never read anything about it when I got diagnosed. I didn't look at all. I mean, I was the biggest coward. Like, I trust Dr. Hammers to get me through this, and I'm just going to let him tell me what I need to do and where I need to be and what I need to go through. Only later did I start reading pieces and articles and things, and I realized that I'm just going to, be scared for the rest of my life. There, I read an article about cancer survivors have PTSD. Like, all right, But the best part is I have work to keep me busy.
Yeah.
What about people who don't,
Right.
I worry about them.
You got a son to raise.
Yeah. What about those who, there's a lot of people out there who are going through this, and it's a horrible club, but I've never felt, I feel connected to a group of people that I didn't know and a few days ago.
Well, the timing of it too, just the fact that coincided with this trial, that's got to freak your mind out a little bit.
It was extraordinary. The trial had just started. It freaked me out that it started, that I got diagnosed the day before my son's birthday, and we didn't tell him for 2 weeks because he had a baseball tournament, and I told Harry the day he got home from his out-of-town baseball tournament, which coincided with the day of my first biopsy. So he comes home and finds me in bed after I've just had a needle jammed into my kidney. And
did you tell him then?
That's when I told him. He told me yesterday. It did not register what I told him at the time because he was so tired from having been out of town for a week. He said, a day later, I realized what you had told me. And I said, did you ever cry during this? He goes, no, I knew you'd handle it. Not that I was strong, not that I was tough, not that I was going to kick cancer's ass. He knew that I could handle it because I was going to be in the hands of people who knew way more than I did.
Yeah.
And that's Hans Hammers and eventually Vitaly Margulis, who took out the kidney and all the other stuff, and Dr. Adam Yope, who took out, who was the liver. And I've seen all these guys several times in the last few weeks, and, you know, it's just going to be, in the words of Jason Garrett, a process.
So yes. I don't know what the proper lingo is of where you are right now. Are you cancer-free?
I'm not.
You're not?
No. I'm, like I said, I got a biopsy on, at the end of the month. The kidney cancer likely spread to the thyroid, so I got to get that dealt with. There's also a couple of other questionable tumors, likely. There's always been this question mark about something in my spine that they were reluctant to deal with because it would, removing it probably by radiation would weaken my spine. And then they'd have to put concrete in it.
But if you want to gauge, you know, August, whatever today is, 7th, 8th, whatever it is, from August 7th of last year.
Oh, yeah.
From a positive standpoint, it's night and day.
Oh, I mean, look, they got the big thing.
Yeah.
They killed the white whale, right?
Right.
It's great. It's gone. It's out. My kidney is no longer trying to kill me.
Okay.
What I'm dealing with now are the residual effects. But as many people have emailed me, you know, I was cancer-free for 2 years, and then it came back.
Yeah.
You know, and that's going to be the thing I always fear. But I'm not going to be defined by that fear, right? So, you know.
You're just going to do what you do.
Keep on living, man.
Look, man, it's what I did and what I've gone through is no different than what the three of you would do or go through if you got diagnosed. You're all tough sons of bitches. You use your work. You use your humor and you use your family to get through this. You know, that's what got me through it. Everybody goes, oh, I can't believe you worked every day. Well, what the hell was I supposed to do?
Yeah.
That's what I do. It's the only thing I know how to do. It's the only thing I'm even remotely good at, and I'm not very good at that. So, you know, it's like, yeah. And I just wanted to do another Christmas show. That's the only reason.
Of course, yeah. Squeeze in one more.
One more Christmas
one
show.
One more.
Somebody said the other day,
it's going to be the last Christmas show. Is that how you're going to position this?
Well, I hope not.
Position, Mike. You just go in your scorched earth and play nothing but Slayer all night.
I did think last year's could have been the last Christmas
show. You ought to position it that way every year.
That's right. This is the 10th. I got to do something very special. I wanted to do a live remote on Christmas Eve.
You can do that.
Don't you guys have an audio bag to get to?
Yeah, we do.
We do.
Do we?
All right. We love you, man. Thank you for doing this. Thanks for sharing with everybody.
I love you boys for having me up here. And, you know, people have been great. I'm overwhelmed by the response. And
he is one of a kind. And that is a story like few other. Let's just keep it going. The great Robert Wolanski.
I love you.